الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله، وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله، وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Honorable brothers in attendance and viewers of Madani Channel, Alhamdulillah, in the environment of Dawat Islami, we regularly get to hear about the excellence, the virtue of reciting Salat ala Nabi. The question is, when we hear about these fada'il, that Salat ala Nabi removes worries, Salat ala Nabi removes sins, Salat ala Nabi elevates our ranks, and various other excellences, how many of us actually implement those blessed sayings of Rasulullah alayhi salam in our life? How many of us go away and actually increase in our recitation of Salat ala Nabi? This is the key question. Because somebody who is an ashiq, who is a lover of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he only needs to be reminded a few times, and he will ensure that he is following those ahadith, he is reaping the rewards and blessings found in those ahadith. That we need to follow our pious predecessors, rahimahumullah ta'ala. And just as they were engrossed and busy and engaged in remembering the beloved sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whether it was through utterance of Salat ala Nabi or writing Salat ala Nabi, whatever form it took on, Alhamdulillah, they had istiqama, they gained steadfastness. And we too should follow as well, inshallah. May Allah Ta'ala grant us all tawfiq to remember our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to recite salat upon him in abundance. Amen. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let's make some good intentions prior to listening to the bayan. Remember, whenever we get an opportunity to do a good deed, a righteous deed, we should make plenty of good intentions beforehand. Why? The more good intentions we make, the more reward we will attain for that particular amal, for that particular righteous deed. Right now, those who are in attendance and viewers of Madani Channel, what kind of intentions can you make? You can make the intention that, Ya Allah, we are watching Bayan only to earn your rida, your pleasure, inshallah. Ya Allah, we will try our utmost to listen to the bayan with full concentration, inshallah. We will try to remember whatever has been said in the bayan, inshallah. And we will try our utmost to act upon it as well, inshallah, azza wa jalla. So like this, whenever we get a chance to listen to a bayan, do any good deed, make good intentions beforehand, this will increase the reward you gain for that good deed, inshallah. May Allah make us from amongst those who make good intentions in abundance. Ameen. Remember, as believers, the greatest gift that we have been bestowed with is none other than our iman billah wa bil rasul. The fact that we have iman in our hearts, the fact that we are believers, we are Muslims, this is the greatest gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. We are sahibul iman. But remember one thing, having iman right now does not necessarily guarantee us iman at the time of death. That is why when you study the lives of the pious, the saliheen, the awliya, despite performing an abundance of worship, qiyamul layl, they were sa'imud dahar, fasted every day, yet they were always overcome with this fear of losing their iman. That today we have it, but we don't know what will happen at the time of death. And in Jami'u Tirmidhi, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam mentioned a hadith. The hadith is as follows. that the children of Adam alayhi salam are divided into four categories. Four categories from the offspring of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. Number one, those who were born as believers, who lived as believers, and they died as believers as well. Subhanallah. The second category, those who were born as disbelievers, they lived as disbelievers, and they also died as disbelievers. The third category of the offspring of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, they were born as believers, they lived as believers, but ma'azallah, they died as disbelievers. Who is saying this? The Prophet alayhi salam is telling us this. This is a hadith in Jami' Tirmidhi. And number four, those people who were born as disbelievers, they lived their lives as disbelievers, yet Allah Ta'ala blessed them with iman at the time of death. They died as believers. So these are the four categories of the offspring of Prophet Adam alayhi salam. Now, if we're honest with ourselves, we don't know how our ending will be. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He grants us death upon iman, because that is the ultimate goal and that is the ultimate accomplishment. Because we have no sanad, we have no certificate, we have nothing to tell us exactly how our ending will be. That's why, just like the awliya Allah would fear the Creator Jalla Jalaluhu, we too should fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And true success is dying upon iman. Meaning, if you lived your life as a believer, alhamdulillah. But death upon iman is the ultimate goal. Listen to this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it's in Sahih Muslim, the second most authentic hadith book. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Yub'athu kullu 'abdin ala ma mata 'alayh." That every slave will be raised in the state that he died. Meaning, when we are resurrected on Yawm al-Qiyamah, how will we be resurrected? In exactly the same state that we left the world in. Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi Rahmatullahi Alayhi says that the condition at the time of death is taken into consideration. If somebody dies in a state of disbelief, he will be raised as a disbeliever. But if someone dies as a believer, he will inshallah be raised as a believer as well. And it's also mentioned by Mufti Saab, if somebody lived as a disbeliever, but he died upon iman, he will be raised as sahibul iman, as a believer as well. This is why this topic is very sensitive and very important at the same time as well. It's not something that we can neglect and be heedless of. We should be thinking about our khatima, about our ending at all times. We should keep that before our mind, before our eyes as well. Now, how do we preserve our iman? There are asbab as well. The ulama have said, somebody who engages in righteous a'mal all the time, in neki, in pious deeds, and inshallah, if Allah wills, he will also die doing good deeds as well. If someone is habitual in reciting the Quran day and night, someone regularly recites Salat ala Nabi, gives sadaqah in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is a well-wisher for others, saves his heart from diseases like arrogance, like ostentation, like thinking evil of his fellow believers, he purifies his heart. And somebody who is in this situation, this state where he constantly strives to do good, and inshallah, that is one excellent means of preserving your iman, your faith. Allah Ta'ala says in Al-Quran Al-Kareem, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu attaqullaha haqqa tuqatihi wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. Translation, O believers, fear Allah as He should be rightfully feared, and never die but as Muslims. Now, in the tafsir of this verse, Nurul Irfan, it states, But we learn that the condition you die in is taken into account. If someone spends his life as a Muslim but dies as a disbeliever, he will be dealt with as a disbeliever. Mufti Saab writes under a different verse but with a similar meaning. He says, living as a Muslim is not the ultimate accomplishment, but dying as a Muslim is the ultimate accomplishment, the achievement that we should all be striving towards. May Allah Ta'ala grant us all death with Iman. Ameen. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, this hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالْخَوَاتِيمِ. The actions are based upon endings. Actions that we do, they are determined by what? Our ending, our khatima. Imam Hassan Basri, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, a great saint of Allah from the Tabi'een, it said regarding him that somebody once asked him, how are you? Like we ask one another. He said, what would be the state of someone traveling out at sea and his boat ends up suffering damage, its planks scatter, and each person appears clinging to a plank tossed around in the water? It was said he would be extremely worried. The Imam replied, that is my condition right now. And it is reported regarding Imam Hassan Basri rahmatullahi alayhi that he spent several years in a state of, you could say, dejection. He wouldn't smile. People looked at him as if he was a prisoner in solitary confinement, and that he was about to receive the death penalty or something like that. He was asked, you have performed an abundance of worship. Many people observed from Imam Hassan Basri rahmatullahi alayhi that he performed an abundance of worship day and night. Fasting during the day, Qiyamul Layl during the night, reciting Al-Quran Al-Kareem. So they said, they were surprised, ta'ajjub. They said, why are you worried then? Someone like you shouldn't be worried. You performed a lot of good deeds. Imam Hassan Basri rahmatullahi alayhi replied, I am always fearful that I may do something that displeases Allah Almighty and He may remove the mercies He bestowed upon me. Meaning this is the state of our elders. This is how they would spend their days and nights. Their taqwa was at the highest level. Salih beyond imagination. Yet, they would remain fearful. They would be worried about their khatima and how it would be. Now, to ensure that our iman stays with us at the time of death, we need to adopt certain characteristics. Certain traits, certain qualities. Let's listen to a hadith. How much love should we have for our iman? This is in Sahih Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever is characterized by these three qualities will relish the sweetness of faith. Subhanallah, ladhatul iman, he will attain the sweetness of faith. Number one, the person to whom Allah Almighty and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam are dearer than all else. He loves Allah and His Messenger more than everything else, more than everyone else. Number two, he loves another person only for the sake of Allah Almighty. Meaning, al-hubbu fillah. He loves another fellow believer. Why? Because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And number three, the one who abhors, meaning dislikes returning to disbelief after Allah Almighty has rescued him from it, as much as he dislikes being cast into the fire. He loathes and he hates and he detests the idea of falling into disbelief. The way a person dislikes or would hate being thrown into the fire. So this is why a person will be successful if he adopts these character traits. And remember, at the time of death, it's very hard, very difficult. We're told in narrations that shayateen, shaitan, he appears in the form of loved ones. And he tries to deceive people. He tries to misguide people. Imagine at that time, when your soul is about to leave your body, you're suffering enough pain as it is, the pangs of death. You're thirsty. You've lost your senses almost. your soul is about to be extracted. At that time, if devil, shaitan appears in the form of your loved ones, that is a massive test, massive calamity. And what will he do? The narrations tell us that he will say, don't adopt Islam as your faith. Adopt so-and-so religion. Adopt so-and-so religion, you'll be successful. But this is a test for a believer. Because at that time, if a person gives in and falls prey to shaitan and his tricks, and ma'adallah, he gives preference to another deen over Islam, he'll be destroyed. Yet if he remains steadfast, he realizes this is a test. He realizes this is shaitan. And he clings firmly onto his faith, al-Islam and Iman, he'll be successful. But as we heard moments ago, there are certain things that we need to do, we need to implement to ensure that our Iman is preserved. And that is making sure that throughout our lives we adopt taqwa, we adopt righteous deeds, so that at that time shaitan cannot misguide us. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi, in his famous Ihya al-Ulum, he narrates from one of our pious predecessors, rahimahumullah ta'ala, and this incident will make you aware of how much they loved the Iman, how strongly they felt about dying upon Iman. One of our pious predecessors, rahimahumullah ta'ala, said, if I was given a choice to die upon reaching the room of my door, or death with shahada, martyrdom at the main gate of the building. Look at the two choices. Number one, the first choice is dying upon Iman when reaching the room, at the door of your room, maybe a few steps away. Or shahada, we know the rutbah, the rank of a shaheed. Before his blood touches the ground, he sees his place in Jannah. Allah Ta'ala will bless the shuhada so much that it's mentioned in narrations that in the akhirah they will wish that they could return to the world and attain martyrdom again and again and again. Yet listen to what this pious saint said. Death with Iman at the door of my room, or death as a martyr at the main gate of the building. He said, I will choose death with Iman at the door of my room. Why is that? He said, because there is no guarantee that by the time I reach the main gate of my building, that Iman will still be with me. I mean, this is how sensitive the matter was to them. That if these two options are placed before me, then no doubt I will take the option number one of dying with Iman upon reaching the door of my room. So this was their manner of thinking. This is how they lived. And our scholars have even written that the one who does not fear regarding his ending and how it will be, he does not think about this, he has no concern for how he will die upon Iman or not. These thoughts do not keep him engrossed. Then there is a likelihood, there's a chance that he will suffer at the time of death and his Iman could be placed in jeopardy, could be in danger. This is what scholars have written. Now we've heard about what we can do to ensure that our Iman remains intact. A'mali salihah, righteous deeds, pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what about certain acts which could lead to Iman being lost? Lead to the destruction of your Iman. What are those things? This is important to note as well. Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti, Shafi'i rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he has written in Sharh al-Sudur that some scholars have stated there are four causes of a bad death. Four causes. Number one, being lazy in offering salah. One cause of a bad death, su'ul khatima, is being lazy in offering salah. Now this is particularly for those of us who perhaps we give ahmiyah, importance to the Jumu'ah Salah, we should do, but we are neglectful of our other daily prayers. Where we might think that if I offer Jumu'ah Salat, then that's fine, that will compensate for missing my 5 daily prayers. Na'udhu Billah, it doesn't work like that. The Quran tells us, and the Hadith tells us, that 5 prayers are necessary upon a baligh Muslim, male and female. Every Fajr Salah, Zuhr Salah, Asr, Maghrib and Isha. Whether Shaitan or our nafs has convinced us otherwise, that if I offer Jumu'ah and that's fine, then that's our own wrongful thinking. Because we will be asked about our Salah. So number one, Imam Suyuti says, being lazy in offering Salah is one reason, one cause of a bad death. Number two, drinking alcohol. And ma'adallah, again, this is on the rise amongst Muslims as well. So many accounts have been heard, have been narrated regarding people in our communities, in our societies, Muslims drinking alcohol. And that's another reason for dying a bad death, su'ul khatima. Number three, disobeying parents. And again, I don't have to mention, this is also on the rise. And ma'adallah, the amount of disrespect shown to parents, whereas our beautiful religion of Islam teaches us the rights of our parents, that we must look after them the way they looked after us when we were young, when we were unable to do things for ourselves. Those of us who have children will know this better, that throughout the night the mother is awake. As soon as the baby makes a voice, starts crying for milk or needs a nappy changing, the mother is up. And the father also sacrifices a lot as well. But why is it that as soon as those very children are able to do things themselves, they're a bit independent now, they show disrespect to their parents? Whereas in Al-Quran Al-Kareem, in numerous places, Allah Ta'ala talks about being righteous, being good, showing good conduct towards the parents. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. There are verses where Allah has mentioned showing gratitude to Him, Jalla Jalaluhu, and straight away has said, show gratitude to your parents as well. Linked the two. أَنِشْكُرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيْكَ. Allah Ta'ala has said, be grateful to me and your parents. The scholars of Islam have said, for Allah to directly mention parents after Himself, being grateful to Him, shows the rank of parents in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And number four, harming Muslims. This is another problem in our society today. Deception, defrauding others, harming others, being violent towards others, lying to others, being deceitful. These things are also on the rise. We forget that there is a Yawmuddin. We forget that there is a day of recompense. We forget that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our creator, is unlike us. We forget. Allah never forgets. وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ نَسِيًّا. Your Lord will never forget. Allah ta'ala can ask a person about every single one of his actions if he wills. So this is why we need to develop taqwa. We need to develop our iman. So it reaches a stage where we're not harming our fellow Muslims, because from the four things that lead to a bad end, what is number four? Harming Muslims. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from doing these actions that lead to the destruction of iman. Now the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in, they were very inquisitive. They used to ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam many questions. Once Sayyiduna Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala, he said, a man loves a group but cannot do the same actions as them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, a man will be with those whom he loves. Sayyiduna Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala and again said, I love Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet alaihi wasallam replied again, O Abu Dharr, you will be with those whom you love. Having love for the Salihin, this is no small matter as well. Inshallah, there'll come a day when you're able to do the actions of the righteous. But the first thing, the requisite, the requirement is what? That you love the Salihin. You love pious people. If we have enmity towards pious people, we have hatred towards pious people, people who practice the deen, people who act upon the deen, that is a big disease in our heart. And how are we ever going to attain similar ranks as them? So it's important that we have love for the righteous. And along with this, it's important to learn our aqeedah as well. What is the aqeedah of a Muslim? In this regard, a few books I'll mention. Hopefully on the way out, you can perhaps pick them up from the bookshop if it's open. But it's a good reference to have. One book, Kitabul Aqaid, published by Maktabatul Madina, very short book, brief book, mentioning the core beliefs that a Muslim should have. Belief in Allah, belief in the messengers, the books, destiny, what beliefs should we have regarding Qiyamah, the Day of Judgment, Dajjal appearing, Ya'juj, Ma'juj, the descent of Prophet Isa alayhi salam, which will take place. All of these things are mentioned in there. Another book, this one's in Urdu, Bunyadi Aqaid or Ma'mulat Ahl Sunnah. This is also a book that we should try and purchase and read. And number three, the first chapter of the Hanafi Fiqh Encyclopedia known as Bahari Sharia, the first chapter is all about Aqaid. Aqaid from Zaruriyat Deen, Aqaid from Zaruriyat Ahl Sunnah as well. So the more knowledge we have regarding our Iman, our faith, the more stronger it will be, inshallah. Now, Sayyiduna Yusuf bin Asbat, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. And we should do this as well, what the awliya would do. Sayyiduna Yusuf bin Asbat, rahmatullahi alayhi, says, I was with Sayyiduna Sufyan Thawri, rahmatullahi alayhi, and I heard him crying all night. Why do you think he was crying? When we cry mostly for the dunya. Loss of maal. We cry over loss of family members. We cry over loss of rank, status, these kind of things. And some of them, of course, warrant us to cry. But listen, the person asked, are you crying out of fear of sinning? Gunah. Sayyidina Sufyan Thawri rahmatullahi alayhi picked up a blade of grass and said, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a sin has less of a status than this blade of grass. Meaning, I'm not crying because of sins. I am fearful that faith may be taken away from me. I am worried about my iman, I am worried about my faith. This is why it's very important as believers that we always do tajdeedul iman. We recite kalima shahada. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect our faith. And I would like to repeat here the hadith mentioned right at the beginning, found in Jami' al-Tirmidhi, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said there are four divisions, meaning the offspring of Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam can be categorized into four divisions, four types of people. Number one, those who were born as believers, they lived their entire lives as believers, and they also died as believers. The second group, from the offspring of Adam alayhi salam, are those who were born as disbelievers. They lived their lives as disbelievers and they died upon disbelief as well. The third category are those who were born as believers. They lived as believers, but ma'adallah, they died upon disbelief. And the fourth category, those people who were born as disbelievers, lived as disbelievers, but Allah Ta'ala blessed them at the time of death with Iman, they died as believers. This is a hadith of Jami' Tirmidhi. So when we put this hadith before our eyes, no doubt we become fearful because we don't know how our ending is going to be. Then when we hear about the likes of Sayyiduna Sufyan Thawri rahmatullahi alayhi crying about Iman, and we hear about other awliya Allah saying that I would rather die upon Iman after taking a few steps then gaining martyrdom at the main gate of the building, we understand why they said these things. Because Iman was so important to them. Iman was everything for them. But today, our Iman is tainted, unfortunately. This love of the dunya, this over-involvement in the dunya, has clouded our vision. We forgot, we lost sight of our goal. So, dying upon Iman is very, very important. Sayyiduna Abdullah Tustari, rahmatullahi alayh. Somebody came to him and said, O Imam, I've lost all my wealth. Somebody stole all my wealth. Listen to what the Imam advised. He said, what would you have done if Satan entered your heart and snatched your Iman? I mean, this is of more importance, more ahmiya, but we don't give it that importance. We don't give it that ahmiya. So it's very, very important that we think about our iman, we think about our faith. And inshallah, one way of doing so, to remind others about the importance of iman. Inshallah, you will gain an automatic understanding of the importance of iman. Wake other people up for Fajr Salah. Guide them towards good. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Ad-dalu 'ala al-khayri kafa'il." The one who guides towards good deeds is like the one doing them. He will share in the reward as well. So, the more we are active in calling towards righteousness, calling towards the deen, the more ahmiya, the more importance we will attach to our iman as well. When we're encouraging others about iman, no doubt we will understand the importance of iman ourselves as well. In this regard, you could also recite certain wadaif. Shajara At-Tariya Qadriya is also available in the bookshop. And likewise, from the Ahadith Mubarakah, doing wird of Kalima Shahada, La ilaha illallah. This is very important as well. Doing Tajdeedul Iman. At night, before you depart to bed, reciting Nafl, 2 rakat, Nafl, Salatul Tawbah, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive all your sins, doing Tajdeedul Iman. This is very important as well. And this is something that if we make a habit of doing, then inshaAllah ta'ala, Allah ta'ala will preserve our iman and will bless us in both worlds. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept what has been said, enable us to remember it and to ultimately act upon it as well. Ameen. Bijahi Nabi al-Ameen sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
For the sake of Medina, we are calling upon you.